Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Today is the Feast of Trumpets, the first of the fall holy days. This day was introduced to ancient Israel as a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and memorials tend to lead us to think about events that have already passed. And yet, prophetically, we can see from the book of Revelation that trumpets play a huge role in heaven as events leading up to the return of Jesus Christ play out on earth. Events that we believe are yet to be fulfilled. Considering the trumpets to be played and the link to ominous events for mankind, the Feast of Trumpets reminds us the impending return of Jesus Christ will be preceded by a series of ominous events that we think of as the Great Tribulation, a time of trouble that is so severe, unless those days were shortened for the sake of the elect, all people would die. Knowing the horrific times await us should lead us to develop an understanding of what we need to be doing now. The knowledge of the impending Great Tribulation should lead us to remember the need to do what God expects of us, and each year on the Feast of Trumpets, we are given that opportunity. The trumpets of Revelation are linked through the pages of the Bible to this feast as a memorial for the blowing of the trumpets. As we look forward in history through prophecy, we will develop a better understanding of what is being memorialized through the trumpets. For now, let's review the words given by God to Moses when the children of Israel were first taught about the Feast of Trumpets. Leviticus 23, verse 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Trumpets were used to sound an alarm. Today, a wailing siren is often used to warn people of impending dangers. In some parts of the country, the people might know that the alarm sound warns of bad weather like a tornado or something like an impending flood or tsunami. Because of advances in technology, digitally just about any type of sound can be used for an alarm. On my smartphone, my wake-up alarm has one sound, my phone has another, and text messages a third. Apps use a different alert sound, so without looking at my smartphone, I can know by sound what is happening. In ancient Israel, one use of the trumpet or shofar was to sound an alarm. When that sound was heard, the people knew something ominous was happening. We can read of the imagery of the trumpet in Joel. The trumpet signals a time for the people to fear, because the day of the Lord is at hand. If the sound of the trumpet is not enough to cause fear, God shows the day of the Lord will be a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Living in the desert, it's different waking up to a day when the storm clouds are so thick, the day starts out gloomy. It's a totally different feel than waking up to a sunny day with clear skies. The words of Joel speak of darkness and gloominess. And we need to remember that Jesus spoke of people who love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. So the words from Joel could also be showing a time of incredible evil to come with no hope of truth. And yet, whether we consider real clouds or a time of evil, Joel shows the need to blow trumpets. Joel 2, verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and a thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. The seven last trumpets foretold by the Feast of Trumpets are so significant that in heaven, before the first trumpet is sounded, there will be not just a moment of silence, but there will be a half hour of silence. A half hour can go by pretty quickly, but when all that happens is total silence, a half hour can seem like an eternity. Each of the seven angels standing before God will be given a trumpet, and among them was an eighth angel having a golden censer filled with incense, representing the prayers of the saints. And the smoke of the incense filled with the prayers of the saints will go up towards God. The eighth angel will take the golden censer and will throw it down to the earth, and as this happens, voices, thunder, lightning, and an earthquake will be observed. And this will signal the seven angels, who each have a trumpet, that it would be soon time for them to sound their trumpet. The first angel will sound the trumpet, and fire mingled with blood will be cast upon the earth, causing widespread devastation of trees and grasses on land. The second angel will sound the trumpet, and it will be as if a great burning mountain is cast into the ocean, causing a great part of sea life and ships to be devastated. The third angel will sound the third trumpet, and a star named Wormwood will fall from heaven, causing a third of drinkable water to become poisoned. When the fourth angel sounds the fourth trumpet, it will cause atmospheric problems on earth that block the light from the sun, moon, and stars. With all of this devastation, the worst is yet to come. Revelation 8, verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters, because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. When the fifth trumpet sounds, it signals a time of distress on earth with a star falling from heaven. Satan, who falls to earth with a key to the bottomless pit, who then unlocks the bottomless pit. When this happens, mankind will have an answer to the rhetorical question of how bad can it get? When the bottomless pit is unlocked, smoke billows out of the bottomless pit, almost like the gases and smoke are turned on in a volcano. And the smoke causes the sun and air to be darkened. When this pit is unlocked, a swarm of what is described as locusts will be let loose on earth. John, who had this image of the end time, was describing the end time using imagery that could only be understood during the end time. John likely had no contemporary reference to what he saw, except for a locust, a smaller flying insect. Until we speak with John and understand exactly what he saw, we won't know exactly what he saw. Maybe he saw actual insects or something like a small drone, perhaps even an attack helicopter. These locusts, whatever they are, have stinging power and become focused on those who are not sealed by God. Described as having something like a crown of gold, perhaps the rotor blade outline of a drone or a helicopter, they also have something like the face of men. These are also described as having the hair of women. Today, jets leave contrails, but maybe with these, the hair is the stinger element, sort of like a taser. What these locusts do is so highly irritating and painful that people will wish they would die, even though the attack itself will not cause death. The attack of these locusts will go on for 5 months. Revelation 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. Their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots, of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. When the sixth trumpet sounds, four angels will be let loose in the Euphrates River. These four angels will have been tied up awaiting the opportunity to fulfill their mission. Imagine what it would be like to not be able to do the one thing you've been prepared to do, and suddenly you are free to do that one thing. You would probably do that one thing well, and the job of these four angels was to kill one-third of mankind. Even with recent pandemics, nothing has come close to killing one-third of mankind. These angels will be released to give pause for mankind to consider repentance. And even seeing the death of one-third of mankind, mankind will not repent. People continue to worship what is evil as good and gods with a small g made after images and likenesses of man's thinking. They also will continue with other sins. Revelation 9, verse 13. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army, the horsemen, were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouth. For the power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. After this, John saw a powerful angel come down from heaven, holding a little book in his hand. And the voice of this angel was overpowering, sounding like a lion roaring. And when he cried, the voices of the seven thunders were heard. John was not allowed to write down what he heard the seven thunders say, so whatever they said would have given more information than God would have wanted to provide in prophecy. John does tell us when the seventh trumpet sounds, God's plan for people on earth begins to wrap up quickly. Revelation 10, verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth. And he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth for ever and ever, who created heaven, and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. In John's accounting of his vision, we are in a planned pause on the countdown to the seventh trumpet. The sixth trumpet has sounded, but the seventh trumpet has not yet sounded. We see the work of the two witnesses who prophesy for the 1,203 score days. These two have the power to control weather during this time so that it does not rain when they prophesy. These two can also bring any disease upon the earth as they see fit. Revelation 11, verse 1. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise, and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,203 score days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. When these two witnesses are finished with their work, the beast will be given power to kill them when they are in Jerusalem. Their bodies will lay in the streets for 3.5 days, symbolic of their 3.5 years of prophecy. When these two die, people will celebrate their death like Christmas, giving gifts to each other. Verse 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. after 3.5 days, the two witnesses will be resurrected, and naturally those who see this will have great fear, because they were probably told that this would happen by the two witnesses. And they will hear a voice coming from heaven telling the two witnesses to ascend in the cloud. That same hour, an earthquake rocks Jerusalem, causing 1/10 of the buildings to collapse, meaning it is a very intense earthquake that also kills 7,000 people. Everybody who remains decides to give glory to God. Imagine that. Verse 11. And after 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and 1/10 part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were frightened, and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe, the sixth trumpet is past, and the seventh trumpet sounds. When this happens, great voices will be heard in heaven, proclaiming the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. The 24 elders of heaven also praise and thank God as the temple of God is open in heaven, revealing the ark of his testament. Lightnings, voices, thunder, and earthquake, and lots of hell give the start of the kingdom of God the look and feel of the start of a rock concert. Anyone who sees this knows something really impressive is about to happen. Verse 14. The second woe was past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord, and of his Christ, and he shall reign for ever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou should give the reward unto the servants the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings, and voices, and thunderings, and an earthquake, and great hail. It is at this last trumpet that Paul writes to the Corinthians that the dead will be raised incorruptible. While we memorialize these events on this date, we don't know for sure that the last trumpet will actually occur on the Feast of Trumpets, because we have already learned the trumpets of Revelation will span a long period of time, much longer than a single day. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, we know with the last trumpet that Jesus will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will be resurrected first. Those who are faithful and alive on earth will then ascend to meet Jesus in the sky. Again, this happens during the seventh trumpet of Revelation, as memorialized by the Feast of Trumpets, but not necessarily during the Feast of Trumpets. Being told by the Bible to avoid disputes over doubtful matters, I will leave my discussion at that. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The Feast of Trumpets reminds us of the seriousness of the calling we have been given. Jesus taught the disciples that the timing of his return would not be known in advance, and that we should live our life in constant vigilance, making sure we are doing what God expects of us. The world might be surprised by the return of Jesus, and though we will not know the timing of his return, we will be spiritually ready for his return. As we live in a world that becomes harder to live in, our focus remains on seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, knowing that eternal life is what awaits us. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken, are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. We know from Matthew that the seventh trumpet comes after the tribulation when the world is sad because they see the return of Jesus Christ as he returns to gather his elect from around the world. Between the end of the tribulation and the return of Jesus Christ will be a solar and lunar eclipse along with a bunch of shooting stars. Matthew 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And they shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. When exactly Jesus returns, we do not know. Only God the Father knows when that seventh trumpet will sound, signaling the return of Jesus Christ. Mark 13, verse 32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. As Christians, we live our lives focused on seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. And as we do what God expects of us and walk after the Spirit, there is no condemnation. It is through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that we have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Affirming that we seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and that we are Christians who walk after the Spirit, we should be doing those things which are aligned to the Spirit. Living in a world that is focused on things related to the five senses, which bring physical pleasure to the self, we are focused on those things which are spiritual, which are pleasing to God. When others are focused on living their physical life until death takes them, we look to eternal life and the joy we will have then. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. When we seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, we continue in the faith, knowing that it is through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, his return, and the fulfillment of the biblical holy days, that all things will be fulfilled. We are shown in Hebrews that through Jesus Christ, God will make us perfect in every good work to do his will. And God will do whatever is needed to get us to that place of perfection. As God is working in our life, we cannot fight the will of God. Because even though God works to make us perfect to do every good work to do his will, we must, as Jesus said, become perfect as God our Father in heaven is perfect. As God works within each of our lives, we must be led by the Holy Spirit. We cannot try to lead the Holy Spirit, nor can we try to lead God in what to do. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Celebrating the Feast of Trumpets, knowing that this day was set aside as a memorial for the blowing of trumpets, and knowing that the trumpets of Revelation will be the most ominous trumpets to sound, there is seriousness to this day. Though we live in a world where many seem to proclaim their love for God our Father and Jesus Christ, we also know through the prophecies of the trumpets of Revelation that during the prophetic time, most of mankind will be opposed to God our Father and Jesus Christ. And that leaves us in a place where we must be permanently aligned with God our Father and Jesus Christ. When seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness falls out of favor during this later time, We must remain aligned to God our Father and Jesus Christ, knowing that without Jesus Christ, there would be no hope for us. When others deceive many with great swelling words and even seem to have the ability to perform great miracles, we ignore those great swelling words and miracles and remain aligned to God our Father and Jesus Christ, because we know that it is through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and not any great swelling words or miracles done by a person that we have the opportunity of eternal life. We never live our lives as if we have already attained eternal life, even though that is the future result the Bible points to. Even if we can see significant changes in how we live our lives now compared to when we were first called, we never conclude there is no more room for spiritual growth. Instead, we need to live our lives looking to eternal life as something that will be given to us at the return of Jesus Christ, while also doing those things between now and then that are aligned to what is spiritually expected of us. We also live our lives looking forward to the kingdom of God to come, and not back to the life we came from as Lot's wife looked back towards Sodom. When the going gets tough, we refuse to surrender and focus on the finish line that is marked with the return of Jesus Christ, knowing we have been given a high calling in God through Jesus Christ. Philippians 3, verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count on myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The Feast of Trumpets is the start of the fall holy day season, the time of year when we especially focus attention on the kingdom of God. God taught Israel that this feast was a memorial of the blowing of the trumpets. Throughout history, both ancient Israel and the church had its share of loss and tragedy. But through the book of Revelation, we see how God will use that loss and tragedy to bring victory to his people through Jesus Christ. With every hardship faced by the church and the children of Israel through the millennium, the Feast of Trumpets can today serve as a reminder to that loss and tragedy in our lives and collective experience of the church. The Feast of Trumpets also serves as a celebration for us as it reminds us that one day when the seventh trumpet sounds, that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, who will reign forever and ever. This day serves as a reminder that it is the responsibility of the church, as the bride of the Lamb, to make herself ready. And so we live our lives seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Today, we look forward to the kingdom of God to come, and throughout the remainder of the fall holy days, we will review what awaits us. We will consider the exile and banishment of Satan and all that is evil on the Day of Atonement. And during the Feast of Tabernacles and on the last great day, we will celebrate the kingdom of God, the new heavens and new earth, and new Jerusalem. Most of all, as we move through the fall holy days, we celebrate the righteousness of God and how profoundly all things will change when the righteousness of God establishes the kingdom of God and the evil of Satan is overthrown. Thousands of years ago, in a garden established by God on the eastern side of Eden, God placed two trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He told Adam not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but the serpent convinced Eve, and then Eve convinced Adam to eat of that tree, giving us the history of the world we know. The Feast of Trumpets gives us a memorial of the blowing of trumpets, reminding us not only of all the bad things that came to humanity as a result of Adam and Eve eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but to serve as a warning to humanity of what is to come through the trumpets of the book of Revelation. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.